It's us again, Brent Gunning, Sam McKee, Golf Guys here with another bonus golf show. You didn't think we were going to wait all the way until Saturday morning to break down the first major of the season. Scottie Scheffler strutting to a win. Sammy McKee, how you feeling on this wonderful Monday as we break down the Masters?
I'm happy. I'm sad. You know, right now is the longest point until the Masters again. And that breaks my heart a little bit. But yeah, the pomp and circumstance of the Masters is just unmatched. It's a beautiful thing to see, the way it's just shot and all the different artistic things they just do with the way they shoot it. I'm sad it's over, Gunner, and I'm sad it wasn't as exciting as we wanted it to be, I will say.
Well, I mean, you made the point to me, and yeah, this is it's becoming a trend. We don't like this. You know, betting is so big now. Bad trend happening at the Masters right now. I'd like a little drama. I'd like a little action. And look, you know, hey, it's entirely possible this is the first of 3, 4, 5 majors for Scottie Scheffler, and we look at this as the beginning of an ascension for a guy, and then maybe we'll feel a little different about this beatdown that he put on the field. But after having watched it yesterday, especially the way Smith started. I mean, Cam birdies one, and you're thinking, all right, let's go. Here we go. And then they're both in a terrible spot. And if I tell you one of the two has an incredible chip in to make momentum change at the Masters, you go, oh, I love it. Cam Smith is doing it again. But it was Scheffler, and I mean, we'll get to 12 and everything that happened, but it honestly, it felt like, how is this guy going to lose after chipping in on three?
Yeah, and quickly before we get into the chip, can we talk about the ruling? Because I've gotten some friends of mine in my life that have been texting me. Maybe some of these people may have had a little bit of money on Cam Smith and
maybe
thought, this just completely unbiased observers of this. But what did we think of the ruling? Was the ruling generous, or was it just the scoreboard, you had to completely take it out of play?
I understand the idea, but I understand the idea of there is this obstruction. It is technically temporary removable, so you have to get relief there. But it's a thing, like, this is the only major that's at the same course every single time. And I understand the hotel at St. Andrews isn't within play in the course, but if you hit it behind it, they don't give you a drop because it's always there. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel about the scoreboards at Augusta. I thought even the drop going back to Saturday, the very end of his round when he blasts it wide left and they're letting him pick stuff out of where he's going to drop it. It just now, much like we talk about in all sports, you just want it to be consistent. And I don't feel like they were, you know, rolling out the red carpet for Scheffler and telling Cam Smith to get behind the outhouse. Like, I don't think that's what was happening. So I don't think you can, you know, dump on it because there was consistency there. But major tournament, I don't want a rules official going out of their way to give a guy every opportunity to get out of trouble. If you're in trouble, you're in trouble, and take your medicine and put on your Polysporin.
Yeah, he that was a duck hook. And you could feel after Cam birdies two to make it a one-stroke lead, I was keeping an eye on the betting lines. I was keeping an eye on everything. I had may or may not have had some money on Cam Smith. I had Scheffler, too, so not a big deal. I just had the final pairing. But the books had felt a certain type of way about how that was going, the money they were offering on a Cam Smith payout at that point. Mm-hmm. You could really feel it. And Scheffler steps up on the tee, and you could tell he was feeling it. And he hits an awful tee shot. He just, immediate point, he's out of his rhythm. He's been swinging solid all weekend. And it was just a god-awful swing. There's no way around it. It was terrible. So he gets the relief, and he chips it up. It does. It rolls back down. It's not a pretty one. So we're sitting there. We're thinking, he's getting out of here with a par at the very best, right? That's what everybody watching it was thinking. I know that's what you were thinking. That's what I was thinking. That's what Mr. Cam Smith was thinking. And Scheffler, to his credit, he's been playing this chip shot all week. It's not like it was a fluke. It's not like he sculled it and it bangs off the pin and goes in. But he hits his little bump into the side hill. It takes one spin, and it goes right in the heart. And you could just feel it from right there, and I said it to you. He just won the Masters with that chip. And it just changed the momentum. It changed him. It settled him. He started hitting drives again. I just don't remember such a momentous swing in momentum. Momentous in momentum. It just completely changed the way that everybody felt about the game, about the Sunday afternoon in Augusta.
Yeah, and I mean, normally we get that moment on 12, and we kind of did get it again. And but it's just that felt like there was no way the guy could lose the Masters there. And then, you know, you bring in some of the quotes he has after the round that he was crying before he went out to the course because he thought the moment was too big for him.
Something tells me we wouldn't have heard that if he had lost. Let's just say
I don't. I don't think I'd be sources in the Scheffler camp say he was dying to give this thing away all day. Yeah, that's only a story you hear afterwards. Yeah. But that's where it's so funny, right? We always talk about this game, and I'm going to stick on Scheffler. But, I mean, you know, we think of all the guys we love. You know, you think of Bryson for you, of course, Tiger for all of us, Rory for me. And we all play the game of, oh, if this bounce goes differently, it's a completely different round, and their head starts spinning. And that's exactly what happened there with Scheffler. Hey, kudos. He stepped up. He hit the chip. Now, you and I can quibble. I feel like that is not a lucky chip. I'm not going to go as far as to say that. But we've all hit putts that we say, oh, thank God it hit the hole because it was going way by it. And, you know, it had a
difference. Can we say it was fortunate?
It was fortunate. I think that is we'll do the handshake over our chat here. Yes. That we can both agree that was fortunate that it hit the hole. But, hey, he stepped up and he hit the chip. But that's honestly, it's just as a guy who, and I don't want to make it like I'm rooting against Scheffler. I think he's a legit major winner. This isn't a guy where we have to talk about like, oh, who knows what the future holds. No, we know. I don't know about more majors for sure because they're hard to win. But a lot more tournament wins, a lot more Ryder Cups. Like, this is a legit guy. But you're just rooting for the drama there. And honestly, again, I go back to that quote he had and the fact that he's pulling it left all day. He was dying to give that thing away. He was. He was saying, somebody, please come take this from me. And, you know, Cam Smith faded away. Of course, a big part of that is 12. You know, Sungjae never made the run. Rory's run. How real does it feel to a guy like Scheffler who's a million holes behind him? It's just, it felt to me like there was a real chance we got some drama. And the chip on three just, it was like a fire extinguisher. It just put it right out.
Completely agree. But I loved watching I loved watching him after that point because I don't know, like I kind of mentioned it, but I don't know if I've ever seen one shot change a golfer the way that changed him, right?
Honestly,
like he was back to Saturday Scottie Scheffler. He was back to Friday Scottie Scheffler, hitting solid shots, hitting him in the middle of the green, hitting some putts. Like, I really, like, it felt like he was quote unquote melting down, and he went out in 34. Right? Yeah. Like, it was such a momentous swing in momentum, like I said before. So I'm happy for Scottie Scheffler. It's funny that I don't think he was necessarily the biggest story of the weekend. I think we all know what the biggest story of the weekend was, and we can talk about that now, but I'm happy for him. I think this is the start. I could see this being the start of a little Brooks-esque run for him. Like, we're going into the PGA Championship in about a month's time, what is it, about 5 weeks from now.
Yep.
He's probably going to be the betting favorite, right? Heading into that.
Yeah, I mean, man, 5 weeks, a lot of time. There's so many good guys on tour. He will be among the top five or six betting favorites for sure. I know, I agree with you. I want to talk about the biggest story, but I want to stick on this final pair for just a second. You know, we saw what 12, and granted, it only went in the water once for Cam Smith, so I don't want to turn this into Spieth, but we saw what 12 did to Spieth. I mean, you know, I'm not going to put Francesco Molinari. I think that was not a fluky run, but a guy having the absolute run of his life. We saw what 12 did to Francesco Molinari.
Ended his golf moment, relevancy. Yeah,
exactly. A moment in that spot can eat a guy up. I don't think that's going to happen to Cam, but I think it's a very fair kind of thought to have about a guy. We've just seen that shot in that moment in the final pair on Sunday just eat so many guys alive. I personally think, you know, he has the short game, he has the putting, he has the right kind of chill attitude about everything, that I don't think this is going to be something that craters him. But where are you at on Smith in the aftermath of all this?
I'm sick for him because I love the guy. I really am a big fan of him. I love his game. I love his demeanor. I love his mullet. I love his duster. There's nothing about him I don't love. And I think this can really have an effect on people. I mean, you look at Jordan Spieth. I don't think Jordan Spieth's necessarily been the same since that happened. Like, it's just a really, really hard thing to be in contention at Augusta and then have that shot melt you down. I think a lot of what happened on 12, actually, and this may not be necessarily true, but it's how I observed it. I think a lot of what happened on 12 had a lot to do with what happened on 11. He goes out there and he makes a nasty birdie to birdie 11 on the back nine at Augusta. That's the hardest hole in the world right now. Like, there's, it's such a huge moment for him. Scheffler makes a stones par putt to keep it at a three-stroke lead as opposed to two. And I think it went to Cam Smith saying, look, I just made the birdie of my life here. I'm feeling great. I just got a stroke back. I'm going to take on 12. I've got the chance here. This is my chance. I'm going to go at the pin that's over in that little dastardly spot on the right side of the green that's cost so many men so many sleepless nights. And he went for it, and he made a terrible swing. No tempo. He didn't commit to the shot, chunked it, didn't even hit land, straight into the water. And they mentioned...
Yeah, at least Spieth hit the bank. Yeah, at least Spieth hit the bank.
It just went straight into the water, and God, were there anything... Any sort of more heartbreaking visuals than them that zoom in on Smith when he just he looks up at it and he just knows it's in the drink. The Masters is over. Like, his contention is over. Like, even if he gets it up and down or whatever for a bogey, he still then he still goes to the five shots back with like with six holes to play. It's over. That ball going in the water ended a dream that you were extremely close to. I think he has other chances. I agree with you. He's a great player on tour. He's going to be in the conversation. But he could go the rest of his career and not be in that position. The Masters is really hard to win, and there's a lot of really great players on tour. And you were in the final pairing, and you put it in the drink on 12. It's a tough thing to overcome. I'm rooting for him. But, boy, that was hard to watch, Gunnar. And he was not good the rest of the round. You mentioned it. His demeanor, he's usually a nothing-gets-to-him guy. He had the club. He was banging it on the ground. He was kind of holding it over his shoulders. He wouldn't give it to his, like on 13 when he thought he put it in the drink. He wouldn't give it back to his caddy. He was broken. And 12 breaks man. I turn into Toronto man's all of a sudden, but it breaks people. It really does. So, it's just another guy in the long line. You know, it's just a tough one to watch.
Yeah, I think where I'm at on it is I firmly expect him to be in the mix. Look, it's the Masters. It's hard. I firmly expect him to be in the mix two, three, four more times in his career. But until he hits that shot when it matters on Sunday, it's always going to be in the back of our mind. It's always going to be in the back of his.
And I hated the broadcast being like, oh, maybe next time he'll just hit an eight to the middle. It's like... He's trying to win the Masters. He made a bad swing. He's got to live with it. Like, oh, hit it in the middle of the green. He's three strokes back with five holes to play. I think it was an okay idea to go at the pin, maybe. We saw what he did at the Players when he hit it to 2 feet on 17. The guy's got the shot in his bag. It's just such a anyways, I don't need to get down on the broadcast, but that just upset me when I heard that.
The things that jump into my mind, because all I can think of there is several Canadian Opens ago when Charlie Hoffman was in the mix late and his caddy saying, well, you can make a four if you, I'm trying to win a golf tournament here. Give me the 3 wood.
That with was his green stuff. Glove.
With his green glove. Hey, got to have something cool. I'm with you there. The last thing on that, just the disappointing part about it is going back to what I said about Scheffler. It just makes that shot look, it's still a ridiculously hard shot. It's a sliver of a green. It's Masters Sunday. He's trying to do it. But it just takes all the pressure off Scheffler. And he just completely
hit it further
bails.
Left or no?
Yeah. He's like, can I just play to 11 green again? That worked out okay. I'll start line over there. All right. I think we've kind of given our – oh, wait, sorry. We can't talk about Scottie Scheffler and Cam Smith without – like, we've kind of talked about it. He four putted on the 18th green. Like, this is the thing that lets me know. Dying is, to have someone take it from him.
Is there,
four putt.
Is there any moment? I know he's got a five stroke lead. Was it five? It was five, right? But there's no moment where he misses the first bunny and he's like, I'm not going to blow this, am I?
Yeah.
Like that thought crossed his mind where he's like, I'm going to miss three more of these and I'm going to go into a playoff with Rory and definitely lose. That thought crossed his mind.
And I'm sitting there going, oh, no, in my luck, he's going to blow this and get into a playoff with Rory. And then Rory's going to duck kick one because he has been sitting around for 4 hours.
Yeah.
All right. Rory is something I want to talk about, but we got to talk about the big guy here.
Yeah.
We got to talk about Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me personally, this was always the other shoe to drop on the great start to the week. It looks like he looks. It's great. Everybody's happy. He's smiling. He's beating all these other guys. Tons of great players. Didn't make the weekend, and he did. 22 cuts in a row. and then his body caught
and
up
then
with
Saturday
them.
Happened.
Yeah, and then because he was so tired, I you don't a guy like that doesn't putt like that at a place he knows so well without the fatigue just mm-hmm. going to his brain. It's just 100%. So hard to stay locked in for so long.
Yeah, and I have to say that it was exciting to see him out there, and I'm so happy he made the comeback, and I don't know if he can win another major, man. You know, I thought when he was starting this up, and I don't want to doubt Tiger Woods, but with the where the game is at now and all the stars and all the power and all, like, he said it himself that he doesn't know how much better he's going to feel, like, ever, right? He's how old is he, 46?
Yeah.
St. Andrews, honestly, in however many months, might be his best opportunity to get another mm-hmm. major for the rest of his life. Truly. And that's why he's probably going to play it. I don't think he'll play any other tournaments leading up to that. I'm not sure. I don't know his schedule. But it was incredibly special to have that Thursday where he finishes in the red numbers. And we were all like, oh, my God. He grinds out to make the cut on Friday. Has a great back nine, back-to-back birdies. We're all fired up. And then Saturday broke me a little bit. It was hard to watch at a lot of points, and I'm so happy that he made it through. It's a real testament to finish it off. But I left the weekend feeling like we're probably never going to see Tiger win again, and that's fine. He's given us more than any other person has given any other fan base probably in their lives. But it was a tough watch on Saturday. Sunday was nicer. He was wearing the red. The weather was nicer. But, yeah, I was a little broken after Saturday, I have to admit.
Yeah, certainly given us more than any fan bases we'd all. You love a good soccer team, maybe.
Yeah,
so,
I do.
And
the Raptors won a championship literally 3 years ago. So
not 15 of them.
Yes,
like
correct.
So there you go. There you go. The thing I'd say, I want to be clear. I agree with everything you're saying. Like, that is where I tend to believe. But if I'm going to play devil's advocate, and now this is much like Saturday was all dependent on how his body bounced back from Friday. Mm. This is all predicated on how, because this took an absolute toll on his body. There is no way about it. You know, we always talk about recovery. I'm not going to quite compare it to you playing Cabot on a busted ankle, but I guarantee you that knocked you back a couple of steps in your recovery when you went and did it. Now, the thing I'll say is, if I told you Tiger Woods struggled with his chipping and his putting and that's all he can do, do I think he'll ever have a day at a major where he putts that poorly again? No, I don't. I flat out do not. And he was roasting drive. He hit 16 he hit 14 fairways, all of them on the Friday. He was hitting drive, even though he wasn't playing well on the weekends, he was finding fairways with the driver. The fact that he can do that does give you just a little crack in the door of believing, let you peek in. But yes, I'm with you. I think we've had our moment. St. Andrews will be fun. He'll give us some moments there. He's going to have some crafty, you know, shots that are barely on the ground. The stinger's going to be cooking. We'll have some fun there. But yes, I think we need to always go into it with super, super, super measured expectations.
And man, I have to admit, it was the back nine. I don't think they're on the back nine, but they were just starting their rounds. And we got the whole him walking up 18, which I was, mm-hmm. we needed to have that. That's Tiger Woods. It's his return. I understand why CBS does that. Got to have that. But do we need to see him making travel plans with his family? Like that,
there was a lot.
Then we go back to it. They're like, he's standing around, milling around. I'm like, okay, like we got it. He did the major. We watched him hobble into Butler Cabin to do his scorecard. I'm like, maybe just him walking off the green to the ovation. Maybe not the go back three times. I love Tiger Woods a lot. And even for me, I was like, they're really doing this. They're really going after it.
You know, it's like there's a reason the curtains close when a play's over, because it's like, all right, you don't need to see all that other stuff. And they're like, nah, you know what? Just do it out there in the open for everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm with you there. We'll never complain about too much Tiger, except for maybe this one time. All right, you wanna? I feel like I should let you tee up the Rory topic, because
okay.
I honestly know how I feel about this. I'm really curious your thoughts on the matter.
I loved it. Loved it, Gunner.
Okay, wow.
I did, because it wasn't like he was terrible all weekend. He shot a good number at Augusta, -7. What, he was second, right? There was one other guy that played way better than everybody else beat him. He was around the leaderboard all weekend, and he played unbelievable on Sunday. It was a truly magnificent round of golf at one of the best. He shot a 64 on the Sunday at Augusta. I have to say, though, I don't think he celebrated a big moment in a while, because, boy, oh, boy, what the hell
terrible.
Was that in the sand trap? like a little whirling dervish. I don't know what the hell that was, but I have to say, Gunner,
he looked like Bart Simpson when he was doing the like, yes. I'm just going to wheel my arms, and if you get in my way.
I know that I love to give you a hard time for loving Rory, but I loved every minute of it. I absolutely loved the moment between him and Morikawa both holding out from the sand on 18. It was a beautiful round by him, and sure, my counter-argument to this can be there was zero pressure on him. Listen, he just has to go out there and play. But he went out there and played, man, and he finished second. And no, it's not like he was way out of it and he finished in the top 10. He was floating around the leaderboard, and then he shot a 64 on Sunday. So that was an impressive performance that I have to give him his flowers for. I cannot take anything away from it.
Oh. Yeah, the thing I would say about it is that there is definitely something to the... There is definitely something to the idea of, oh, Rory's finally out of it, and now he can get his now he can get his mojo going. Now he can play some golf. There's definitely something to that. But he continued to play good golf when he was firmly in it. Scheffler looked, and again, we talked about it. This is a guy who he played really good golf, but he also had tons of moments where he said, here, somebody please come steal the Masters from me. And Rory was the only guy out there who was capable of doing it. The thing I would say about this is I still do believe if he's going to win a major at Augusta, I do feel like it has to be a scenario something like this. He's in the fifth to sixth last pair. He just goes out, blacks out, plays, you know, shoots 64, 65, and everyone else is kind of around par. That's what feels like the recipe. But I got to say, you see a moment like this, and all it does is just gets me going. Please have this guy back in major championships. Because look, there's so many guys I really like of this young crop. I'm not going to put Scheffler in there. He doesn't do it for me. Tremendous golfer. Thrilled he's going to be at the Canadian Open. But he's not there for me. But Hovland, Morikawa, Rahm, even Zalatoris I'm coming around on. Like, we can keep going down and just naming names. None of them make me feel anything close to what a guy like Rory can make me feel, and that's why it was so special to see. I don't know what it means. I don't know if he's going to go on a run and you're going to be in the mix at the PGA until he really does it at a major. Again, I don't know that I'm there, but it's just, it hammered home to me that he's the only guy outside of Tiger that can kind of give me these feels.
So I love everything you said there, and I think having this sort of momentum in the final round at Augusta, I feel better about him heading into the PGA Championship than I would have if he had gone out and shot like a 72 or a 71 and just not really been, not had anything to say. But I think it's a moment. I'm sorry. If you're another golfer and you see Rory play like that and be, like I said, it wasn't like he was out of it all weekend. He was floating around the leaderboard. He played good golf the rest of the weekend. And then he does that in the final round. If Scottie Scheffler doesn't exist, he could have won the Masters. So I really was impressed by that round, Gunner. And I know, are you surprised by the flowers that I just gave Rory?
I am astonished. I figured it was going to be, oh, what a shock. Once he's out of it, I thought that was coming for sure. I'm very happy to have
listen.
I will say one thing about Rory. We got to get Mike Babcock caddying for him on Thursdays because this man needs to start a golf tournament on time. Just once. Just once. Don't blast iron out of bounds at the Open Championship. Just start on time once.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I kind of say thank God for Rory yesterday because that was legitimately the most exciting thing. Other than Cam Smith dunking one on 12, I think the most exciting thing was Rory's round. Honestly, I was the most titillated by that by far. So I look forward to the PGA Championship and hopefully Rory can be in contention there at Harding Park. Oh, no, that was last year. That's Southern Hills. My bad.
Southern Hills, it'll shock you. Tiger Woods won a major there. It was
okay.
The 2007 PGA Championship.
No memory of what the course is like. I remember that. I remember him winning that, but I don't remember what the course is like. So, bad golf, guys.
Well, it's been redesigned since, so you don't even have
you
don't even have to feel like a bad golf guy there. All right, before we wrap things up, hey, we are who we are. We got to sneak in a little golf talk of our own. And as always, the Golf Show brought to you by your local Ontario Subaru dealers. Welcome to the uncommon performance in a Subaru with legendary symmetrical full-time all-wheel drive. Very, very happy to have the folks at Subaru on board with the Golf Show this year. Now, McKee. Subaru paid for the ad, so there will be no free ones here. But I have to say, I got a new wand in the bag.
Yeah, and you're going to say what kind of putter it is, obviously.
Well, let's just say it's a similar type to one Tiger has won 14 of 15 majors.
Does it rhyme with Potty Pameron?
Yeah, it might.
Okay.
It might share the same first name as the most recent major champion.
Oh, very well
might
done.
Might even do that. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
You've been part of this club for a while.
A very long time. My whole life, in fact.
I have not. And I loved my old wand, but somebody stepped up. Love you, wifey. And somebody stepped up and got me said wand. And, you know, I'm not even going to come here and be like, oh, it was actually a 20-putt day out there. No. I was not making everything. It wasn't just pure in the center of the heart. Slow greens out there trying to dial up the speed. Mm-hmm. But it just, there's nothing like, and this is the thing I think we can all relate to. Sometimes you get some new gear and it takes a little while and you become accustomed to it. And other times, it's like you were born with it in your hand and you've just been searching for your lost appendage for so long. And that's the feeling I had. It was just such comfort out there. Felt great to test it out. First round of the year.
Would you play Scarlet?
I did play Scarlet. Yeah,
yeah.
So here's the thing.
Around the corner from me.
Right around the corner from you. You'll love to know this as well. The disc golf nets, baskets. Not nets, baskets.
I call them bins.
Bins?
Yeah.
There was nobody snapping chains out there, but there were chains to be snapped.
They were still up.
Somebody won. They were still up. Come on.
No,
come
I mean,
on,
it's golf
real
season
golf
now.
Time.
That's
right.
That's fair.
Time.
There's lots of disc golf courses in the city that are designated disc golf courses. I love that they do that at Scarlet Woods. It's funny, quickly, as an aside, the disc golf course at Scarlet Woods.
This is now Disc Golf Corner.
Is the hardest golf disc golf course of all time. Like, legitimately, it made me walk off. I was so sour. Like, me and fan host JD Bunkus, we got in an argument because I was so sour about how hard it was, and I actually left because I was pissed off. So
it's the easiest real golf, hardest disc golf.
Like, incredibly hard. I even may or may not have went on the Facebook disc golf group that I'm in and whined about it. So, anyways, that's just an aside about my disc golf career, which I haven't played in a while. But yeah, love that you went to Scarlet Woods. Love the new wand. Scotty Cameron, I'll just say it.
Yeah,
I have one. I've had one since I was 15 years old. My great uncle Don gave it to me when I was a kid, probably even younger, maybe even 12 or 13.
Wow.
I've had it since then. Never had it refaced, never had anything. Got a new grip put on it one year. But boy, it's a very, very, very important part of playing golf is having a great putter. And now that you're part of the club, you'll never, ever be able to go back. You'll never buy a new wand in your life. And you know me, if I ever lost it, I'd quit golf. So, I have a little a golf revelation as well, quickly before we go here. I went and played Don Valley 9 holes on Masters Sunday, got out there at 8:20, a little brisk to start, but
congrats to you.
Thank you. It was nice. I got to say, the weather was a little chilly, but I was bundled up well and good foursome, and we had a really good time. Wasn't too cold. My putting, man, I broke it with the claw last year, and I'm really having issues with my putting, and my weight is off. And the last three holes at Don Valley, I went back to the claw gunner. I went back to the claw, and I hold a 7-footer or 7 or 8-footer, which I hadn't hit one all day, and I go out there with the claw, and I hold a 7-footer on 7, hit another one on 8, and I just lipped one out for birdie on 9 with the claw. I'm going to play Tam O'Shanter tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. before I do Real Kipper and Bourne. And
please, if you see him, say hi. He wants nothing
more.
No,
good Lord. Please don't say hi. But I will be going full claw for the full round to see how it goes. It felt more comfortable than the old way. So I may have completely ruined one of the strengths of my game, but I'm going full claw from here on out.
Okay. I think the thing I'm most looking forward to about this is how long it lasts.
Yes.
Not that I don't think you won't get hot, because hey, you are you can roll the rock, but I know you, and it's funny, I never would have thought you to be the least
thinky
tinkery guy.
I know. I don't think about anything.
You do not. It's like we have played golf with tons of guys, and they've got the checklist, and okay, am I here? Am I doing the thing? Okay, I'm aimed in the right spot.
Just say Ben Ennis.
Good positions. I mean, well, here's the thing. I'm playing with a lot of dudes, and it's rampant in the community, okay? The slow, methodical, hey, play your game. Just do it a little quicker. But the fact that you are the guy who's going, what if I go modified claw? What if I go left hand low? What about if I do the old Bryson, not the new Bryson, the old Bryson when he was an amateur? What if I go side saddle putting?
Should never have done anything.
No, you shouldn't have. Like, we should go back. Men in Black you right now to when you never, ever thought about the claw. And then you wouldn't know that the Masters was relatively uneventful for the past 2 years.
Yeah. I blame Colin Morikawa at concession last year when we were all stuck inside and I was putting in my living room and he was hitting everything with the claw. That's who I blame, because he made me do the claw and I wish to God I never did. But we're back. I'm going back to it now because I can't putt the other way.
The only thing worse than this would be like, you know who converted me to my new putting stroke? Is that Will Zalatoris. The idea
God,
that,
I love that
again,
stroke.
He was on an absolute heater when this happened, but the idea of a guy who is like gacky over inch-long putts in Morikawa, oh boy, I can't believe that's the one who converted you.
So I now feel very guilty because we just talked about the Masters and our own golf game for almost half an hour. And we did mention Corey Connors. So we should probably give Corey Connors his flowers. Another top 10 finish at Augusta. Striking the ball all over the place. We won't talk about his putting, but he hit some putts. He played well. Birdied 18 to make himself some cash on
17
Sunday.
And 18.
Love it. Making some money. A great Canadian athlete. Probably extremely underappreciated for his value in terms of how much he competes. I mean, we can talk about Brooke Henderson. I don't want to get you too fired up on a Monday afternoon. But yeah, Corey Connors, another unbelievable performance at the Masters. I really do think he's going to get one year. I really do.
His game clearly perfectly fits that place. He obviously, yes, the putting is not a strength of his game, but I just mentioned Zalatoris. He can't putt anywhere. He can kind of putt at Augusta. For some guys, the greens just kind of work. So I think the thing that jumps out to me to us getting to Connors so late, and for shame on us,
for sure,
is that he doesn't feel like a Canadian success story. Not to take any of his Canadian bona fides away. He's just a top 20 guy in the world.
Yeah, he's just
in the
nasty
mix all the time, and it's not a huge story. Again, for shame on us. A Canadian's in the top 10 in a major, we should always borderline lead with it. But it's just that's what it is. Is it doesn't feel like this, oh my God, can you believe Corey did it? It's like, yep, Corey did it again.
Yes, sir. All right, Gunner. Great show, buddy.
Tons of fun. All right, thanks so much for listening to The Golf Show. Special Masters Recap Edition. We'll be back Saturday morning, 9 to 10 on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.